So let's go to Obadiah. Obadiah. So minor prophet, if you go to Daniel, and then you go Hosea, Joel, Amos, and there's Obadiah. You got to watch it because it's only a chapter, and you'll go right past it if you're not careful. But Obadiah, right before Jonah. If you get to Jonah, you got to go back a book. So Obadiah. So Obadiah is one of 12 minor prophets. The minor prophets are not less important than the major prophets. Anybody know why they call them the major and the minor prophets? Why are they distinguished two different groups? Anybody know? Yeah, it's just the length of the books. I mean, Isaiah, 66 chapters. Jeremiah, 52 chapters, I believe. Those are longer than the minor prophets. I think the longest minor prophet is Zechariah, I believe, 14 chapters. And then most of them are a whole lot less than that. So they're still important. Just because they're called minor prophets doesn't mean they're not important. They're still very important. Now, here's what you want to remember when you read the minor prophets. When you meet the minor prophets, it'll be very, very confusing to you. And you'll say, what in the world is going on? Unless you understand something. A lot of the minor prophets, the subject has to do with the future. And specifically, two major time periods. The Great Tribulation, which is still future, and the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign. So if you remember that when you read the minor prophets, things will make a lot of sense. Now, when you read the minor prophets, it also helps to have a little history in your knowledge base, because if you don't understand particularly one particular man in your Old Testament in Obadiah that's going to be mentioned, if you don't understand his history, you're not going to have any idea why he's mentioned here and what he has to do with the future. So, more on that in a second. Let's go to Obadiah. Let's read the first 14 verses here of Obadiah. And I'll try to stop at a reasonable time so we can not be here all night for the Lord's Supper. But we'll try to get through the first 14 verses. And if not, we'll just save some for next time. Obadiah, verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning, who is it? Edom. And you're going to see that mentioned several times. That's a very important name you will see in this book. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee. Now, who's he talking about? Who's he talking about again? Edom. I have made thee. That's talking about Edom. Small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. So this is more on Edom. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest as among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Who's the Lord going to bring down? It's Edom. And we'll say who that is here in a minute, who those people are. Verse 5, if thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of who? Esau searched out. Now wait a minute, I thought we were talking about Edom. You will see there's a connection, a real close connection between Edom and Esau. So if you don't know who Esau is, we'll take a look at him tonight so we know a little bit more about him and obviously Edom. All right? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought out? Verse 7. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and have prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob shall shame cover thee. That's a very important verse. And thou shalt be cut off forever. Notice Jacob mentioned that verse. What was Jacob's name changed to? Israel. You want to remember, verse 10 is a key verse in this chapter. Verse 11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have had entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. All right, so the title tonight of the message is Don't Be Like Edom. There's a whole lot of judgment in this book against, who is it? Edom. And we'll see who that is here in a minute. So let's pray and then we'll dive in here. Lord, we just thank you for your words and thank you for how they are so up to date with news around us in the world, and we can apply them. And I pray that you'd help us to do so tonight. Help us to see things not only in this present time and individually in each one of us, but also down the road in the future, what you are going to do without a doubt. Make this very practical for each one of us. And may we get a glimpse of just how you see the world. Very clearly, may we get a glimpse of that tonight. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so I mentioned that Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. Real quick, just a couple things here. Obadiah actually means a servant of the Lord or a worshiper of the Lord. So better to be like Obadiah than to be like Edom. Yes, so don't be like Edom. You do want to be like Obadiah. But Obadiah is going to tell us what God thinks of Edom. So who is Edom? How are we going to find out, folks? Encyclopedia Britannica? Wikipedia? Let's Google Edom. Oh, come on now. We don't need to do all that nonsense. Let's turn up in the Old Testament. So let's go back to the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis 32. Let's find out some history on this people, this name, Edom. Genesis 32. All right, Genesis 32, look at the first three verses here. And we'll get a little bit of commentary on Edom. Genesis 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to who? Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of... From that little passage right there, we find out Edom is a country. And we also saw in Obadiah, and right here, there's a connection between Edom and a man named Esau. Okay, so a little bit about this, if you don't know. Jacob and Esau were brothers. If you remember, who was the firstborn out of the two? Esau. But do you remember how Jacob tricked his brother into getting the birthright? Okay, so there's something going on here with these two brothers. All right, go over to Genesis 36, more on Edom. So there's a connection between Edom and Esau, we know that. And Edom is a country. But let's find out something else about Edom. Look at Genesis 36, verse 1. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. So the Edomites would be the descendants of Esau. So Edom is a country, and the Edomites are a people. So they're the people of the country of Edom. They're descendants of Esau. Now notice something about these people from Esau. Look at verse 2. Esau took his, what's that next word, fellas? Uh-oh, we got a polygamist here in the Bible. This is never good, isn't it? It's always trouble with more than one wife. Amen, fellas that are married. You only need one wife. All right. Esau took his wives of the daughters of who? Ah, Canaan country there where all those false gods were. Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholabama, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite. And watch this one, verse 3. And Bashemash, whose daughter? Ishmael's daughter. I tell you, there's a connection. You really study this. There's a connection between the Edomites and the Ishmaelites. And you can see, obviously, why, because there's a connection right there in verse 3. Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. Verse 4. And Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel. And I'm not going to read all this. You go on down there, there's a whole a line, a lineage there from Esau. Go down there to verse 8. Verse 8, same chapter. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom, and these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. Okay, so let's just find out the identification of Edom. Edom is connected with this man Esau, and it's a country, and the people of Esau are the Edomites. You with me so far? Pretty simple, right? Go back there to Obadiah, and notice something here. There's a problem with these people, a big problem. And just an introduction here, we'll get to some points here in a moment. There's a problem with these Edomites. And I got to put a marker here in Obadiah. It's kind of hard to find it when you leave it, isn't it? All right. Notice in verse 2 what God said about these people of Edom. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. And there's our first point. We're going to talk about Edom being despised. Edom despised. Now, it says there, I have made thee small among the nations. Folks, who raises up nations and who pulls down nations? The Lord God Almighty. America, in its prosperity, was prosperous. I say was. Past tense, on purpose. You know why? The Lord made us that way. You can say it's because this president, that president. No, the Lord made us that way. And I think you can make some connections in the past how we started off as a righteous nation to some degree. Not a perfect nation, but a lot of godly influence in this country to start off with. And over the history of our nation, there's been a lot of godly influence. You know why? A lot of Bible-believing preachers in this country over the years. All the way back to pre-1776. Did you know that? Study Baptist history. A lot of Bible-believing preachers in this nation. I think that's a big reason why God blessed this nation. I'm going to tell you another reason here in a minute. I'll get to that. But notice here it says that God greatly despised Edom. Now, why is it that Edom was despised by God? All right, I was going to go here earlier, but I wanted to wait till we got this point. Let's look at why God looks down on Edom. It's because of something that Edom did to guess who? You want to guess? Israel. The Jacob, whose name was changed, Israel. Okay, keep your finger here. Obadiah, go back to Genesis 25. What was the act that led the Lord to despise Edom? Let's take a look at this. Genesis 25. And if you go down there to verse 23, I'll tell you, I'm going to read verse 23 here. This is another subject, but I have a little note I wrote in my Bible here on Genesis 25, 23. This verse, some of you will know where I'm going with this. This verse is the key to understanding Romans 9, 10, and 11. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, that's fine. Maybe next week we'll, or next time we come back to this and finish, we'll come back to that and discuss it some more. But take a look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, and this would be Rebekah, by the way. Isaac, his wife Rebekah. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, who's talking about there? Jacob and Esau. Two men, and out of those two men came two nations. Are you with me? All right, look at what happens here. Verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called, there it is again. What is it? Edom. Okay, so you see that connection there. Now go back over there to chapter 32 again. I know we were there a minute ago, but let's go back there again. I think it's 32. Let me see here. I'm sorry. Let me switch over to Numbers. I'm sorry. Go to Numbers chapter 20. Why did God despise Edom? I'm sorry about that. Go over to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. And let's look at this thing about why God despised Edom. Let me get my right place here. Okay, here we go. Numbers 20, verse 14. There we go. Why did God despise Edom? Why did God despise these people? And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Okay, so this is Moses asking the king of Edom for some help here. So look at verse 17. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. Okay, so all that's happening here is Moses is asking on behalf of the Israelites, descendants of Jacob, if they can pass through the land of Edom. That's it. Now, let's see if they get permission. Look at verse 18. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with what? The sword. That's pretty mean. Verse 19, the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. Now, do you think that the Lord remembered that the Edomites didn't let the Israelites pass through? What do you think? You think the Lord remembers this kind of stuff? The Lord takes notes on things you and I don't even worry about at all. And the Lord saw Israel trying to go through this land. They even said they wouldn't drink of their water. They just wanted to pass through. And the Edomites said, nope, you're not doing it. Did you know, because of that, that's the reason why over here in Obadiah, God is so upset with the Edomites, because of their treatment of what people, folks? The Israelites. Now, in case you have forgotten, go back to Genesis 12, real quick. Genesis 12. This verse is important in the year 2021, you better believe it, and beyond, are these verses I'm going to show you here. You probably know these, but take a look here. Verse 1, Genesis 12. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land I will show thee, that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, you know, from Abraham comes Isaac, from Isaac comes Jacob, and that comes the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Notice in verse 3, what does God do with those that bless the seed of Abraham? They get a blessing. What does God do with those who curse the seed of Abraham? They are cursed. That act by the Edomites, where they wouldn't let the Israelites pass through, God saw that, and he said, since you didn't bless my people, you don't get a blessing. And instead, since you cursed my people, you people are cursed. Notice back here in Obadiah, they are despised. This is the first thing here. Edom despised. Now, I got thinking about this. God promised to bless those people who bless Israel, and this applies to individuals and to nations. This is my personal opinion. You can take it or leave it. I think one of the reasons why God has poured out his blessings on this country over the past has to do with our relationship with Israel. It's been good, hasn't it? I'm telling you, you better watch to see how this continues, because the very day where we turn our back on Israel, this country's finished. Done. You know what God's going to do? He's going to despise this country just like he despised Edom. You want to remember that. And I also say this as an individual. You want to make sure you see that Jew. There's we got a lot of them here in Brevard County. More so down south, but there's quite a few here in the county. You want to bless that Jew. And I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do for a Jew in the year 2021. You know what it is? Tell them about their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Jews, the church where Sherry and I, where we teach, the church connected with school, there's a Jewish ministry there, and that fella who leads that ministry tells me often about Jews he leads to the Lord. And he's a Jew himself. He's a saved Jew. And folks, Jews need to hear about Jesus. That's the best way you can bless a Jew today. So make sure you remember that as an individual, but also as a nation, we want to make sure we bless those people. So this thing about despising Edom, we ought to be more concerned with how God sees both us as individuals and nations instead of how the world views us as individuals and how the world views nations. Folks, the time of tribulation, if this book of Obadiah is connected with the tribulation, I really think you're going to see some anti-Semitism in the tribulation. What do you think? You know this is true. We went through Revelation. We saw that. So I think there's a warning here about the way that these Edomites treated Israel and how God's going to judge them. And it's a warning to us to remind us how we ought to treat Israel. We ought to obviously bless those folks. So this thing about God despising Edom. You ever notice this? That which God despises, the world often loves. You ever notice that? And this is not every case, but oftentimes the things that the world despises are often things that God loves. What's the world think of this book right here? They despise this book. What does God say about this book? These are the perfect words. You need them. They're my words. There's nothing more important than them. What does the world think about Jesus Christ? Let's find out. Go over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. You know this verse probably. Seen it before. Real quick on despising, and we'll get to this next point. Edom despise, and something about a certain person that the world despise. Isaiah 53 is all about Jesus Christ. Prophecy of his crucifixion. Look at Isaiah 53. Look at verse 3. He, prophecy of Jesus Christ, is, what's the word? Despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was, there it is again, despised, and we esteemed him not. What's the world think about Jesus Christ? They hated him. They hated him without a cause. What's God the Father think of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He loves his Son. He loves sinners. He loves his Son also. He gave his Son on behalf of sinners. All right, so go to Psalm 22 real quick. Something about despise. The two passages in your Old Testament that are prophecies of the crucifixion, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. Here again, you'll see this in connected with despise, what the world despises. Look at Psalm 22, 6. Prophecy of the crucifixion again. Psalm 22, 6. Really, you could say this is the Lord while he's on the cross. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Watch out for what the people say, huh? The people are usually wrong. The Lord is not, but the people usually align with wrongdoing. All right, though, so hopefully you got an understanding there a little bit about Edomites, why God despised Edom. Now go back over there and let's take a look at a real interesting couple verses here. Next point here. In verse 3, we'll get it out of verse 3. Edom despised, let's get the second point here. Verse 3, it says, the pride of thine heart hath what? Deceived thee. Here's Edom deceived. Folks, how can you keep from being deceived in the present time? You better know God's word. That's how you keep from being deceived. Are you noticing that deception is increasing? Have you noticed, here we are in March 2021. Remember March 2020? Remember, we got off to a decent start. And then halfway through the month, the world turned upside down, didn't it? And you know what we have seen in the last year? Misinformation. Fake news. Here's what we've seen. Things called science that are not, over and over. You know what we're seeing? We're seeing a massive amount of deception. And what's really sad to me is people in churches are deceived. Even more so in the last year. How do you keep from being deceived? You better stay in God's Word. God tells you what's going to happen. Here's what really, I say it confuses me. I understand it. I guess it makes me mad. It doesn't really confuse me. Make me mad. Why aren't Bible-believing Christians excited about all that's happened in the last year? Did you expect some of these things to happen leading up to the rapture and then tribulation? You knew. I mean, you read the verses about one world government, Antichrist. If you heard Bible-believing preachers in the pulpit say there's going to probably be a global crisis to bring on this one world ruler. Did you hear Bible-believing preachers say that? Heard that all my life. Why are we surprised that there's a global crisis? We knew it was going to happen sooner or later. We knew it would be a grand opportunity for a world ruler to step on the scene and say, I got all the answers. Now, this is my opinion. I don't think COVID's the world crisis. I think it's just the sneak preview to the big one, which I don't know what it's going to be. I think COVID's like the test run to see what the people will fall for and how much the people will be deceived by the news media and other sources So let's keep from being deceived. Now, how do we do that? Let's take a look here. Look what Edom did to be deceived. It says in verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. You know how you'll end up being deceived? You exalt yourself and think you know more than God knows. You exalt yourself and think, I don't even need the Bible. That's how you can get deceived. Notice what else it says. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Notice the pride in that statement. Who's going to bring me down? I'm way up here. Nobody can touch me. Who does that sound like, by the way, at the end of verse 3? That reminds me when I read verse 3, who shall bring me down to the ground? I think of Lucifer in Isaiah 14, where he said, I will exalt myself above the stars. Several times there he mentions how high he's going to go, and the Lord brought him down. And we'll bring him down even more so in the future. Amen? Now look at verse 4. You talk about an interesting verse. Verse 4. I will not give away my little note in my Bible here. Let's see if you can maybe read my mind here or read my Bible without seeing it. Look at verse 4. I'm going to point out a couple of words. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. I have a particular nation out in the margin of my Bible I wrote down there, and I wrote a question mark. I wrote America, question mark. And the reason I did that, because I think that every word in your Bible is there on purpose. And notice that in that verse, the eagle is mentioned. Isn't that associated with America somehow? The eagle? Huh? Yeah? Oh, the eagle has landed. Yes. The spacecraft. Yeah, there you go. A couple different things. The bald eagle is our nation's main representation in the animal kingdom. And then there you go right there. What do we do when we got to the moon? The eagle of all things has landed. That was man exalting himself above the stars, wasn't he? He was trying to, at least. All right? But then I think about the stars and stripes on our American flag there. And folks, I put America question mark. I hope it's not. I hope that we are not going to end up like Edom. But I'll tell you, the very moment we end up like Edom is the very moment that we go against God and against Israel. So you want to watch that. I hope that you, here tonight, are, hear me out on this. Not trying to be controversial, but I hope that you tonight are more interested in being a Bible-believing Christian than you are being an American citizen. I praise God I am an American citizen. Thank you, Lord, all the freedoms we've experienced in this country. But if the country goes against the Lord, and it's already on its way, and it goes against Israel, and that could happen, I hope you're going to still side with the Lord and realize your country's gone to pot. And you might still live in this country, and you just do the best you can with the Lord's help while the country goes down. I don't say that to make you mad or to disappoint you. I just know that for a long time, I thought so much of being an American and the pride in being an American. And I still do. I love the country. But I hope you love the Lord more than you love the country. Because I guarantee you the Lord is not going down. But I cannot guarantee you the country is not going down. All right? So just make sure you hear me out on that. Get that straight. All right. Let's go on here. Look at verse 5 here. It says, at the end of verse 4, he says, I will bring thee down, saith the Lord. If these come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen thee till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? All right, so how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? And I think about that verse right there, verse 6. Does God know everything about you? Does God search you out? Good cross-reference here. I got my Bible, Psalm 139, talking about how God knows everything. God knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. Real quick here, let's talk about deception here. I don't want to be deceived. I hope you don't want to be deceived. Let's watch how we can keep from being deceived. Go back to the book of Ezekiel. Just a few pages to the left there. Ezekiel. Go find 14. Ezekiel 14. And let's make sure that we do not get deceived. You don't want to be deceived. And you see that Edom was. So watch what happens here in Ezekiel 14. How to keep from being deceived. Ezekiel 14, look at verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me, that would be the Lord, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. So notice this is a fellow who has idols in his heart. He's got iniquity before his face. And he's going to a prophet to inquire of God. Now, it sounds like a good thing to go and inquire of a prophet, right? But what's this guy doing before he goes to the prophet? What's he doing? He's got idols in his heart, doesn't he? So watch what happens here, verse 8. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, watch this, I, the Lord, have what? Deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Folks, how can you keep from being deceived, according to what we just read there? If you stay away from idolatry, it will help you from being deceived, won't it? If you set up idols in your heart, you know what you're setting yourself up to do? Be deceived. By who, by the way? Who's doing the deceiving? By the Lord. Did you catch that? You say the Lord wouldn't deceive a man. Folks, your approach to the Bible is going to determine what God decides to give you or not give you when you open and read and study the Bible. You got to be careful about your attitude towards God's Word when you open it up and read it. I don't want you to be deceived by God. I don't want to be deceived by God. So when you open the Bible, make sure you don't have idolatry in your heart. Because it says right there, the Lord is the one that will deceive you. You got to be careful about that. All right, let's go back there to Obadiah here. Let's get this last point here before we go, before we wrap up here. So Edom, despised by God. Edom, deceived. And then last thing here, let's go to verse 8 here. We'll get this last thing here. Verse 8, it says, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even, here's the third D, destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. And watch verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off. How long? Folks, are you getting the message here? If you mess with Israel, if anybody messes with Israel, God will mess with them. And that's exactly what happens here with Edom. Verse 11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, we read about that in Numbers, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that it became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Okay, so what's going on there in those verse 11 and 12? This is written after the Babylonians came and carried away the Israelites into captivity. And according to verse 11 and 12, you know what I read there? I read that God was watching the Edomites whenever they were carried away captive. And you know what the Edomites were doing? Did you catch it? They were rejoicing over the fact that God judged Israel. And God took note of that, and he didn't forget it. All right, go to verse 13. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity. Now watch this part. Nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You know what's happening there? When Jerusalem was destroyed by old Nebuchadnezzar, 606 B.C., the Edomites apparently went in there and did what? You catch it? They gathered the spoil. You think the Lord took note of that? He put it in the book of Obadiah to remind us what they did. Look at verse 14. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Here's the last point here. Edom destroyed. Edom destroyed. And I'll get into this when we do the second part of this. But Edom pays a great price for the treatment of Israel. And what's going to happen to those Edomites, folks? They will be, without a doubt, they will be destroyed. by God because of the way they treated Israel. So real quick in closing here, let's try to make something personal here. Go back to Psalm 139. I mentioned this. Let's go back there and we'll wrap up here. Psalm 139. I mentioned this earlier, how God takes note of certain things. And look at verse 1 here. We'll look at a couple different verses here in this chapter. Psalm 139. Try to make some personal application here. Verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Now, I think I know myself pretty good. I know myself better than you do. There's some things about myself I know about me that I don't ever want you to know. If you're honest, you're in the same boat. You know who knows me better than me, and you know who knows you better than you? It's the Lord. And it says there, look at verse 2. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Watch this part. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Did you know that you can look like you're doing something and appear to have the right motive, a pure motive for doing something, and in your heart you can be doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason, but look like to everybody else you're doing the right thing for the wrong reason? You know who you will never fool when you do that. You will never fool the Lord. You will never do that. Look at verse 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Watch this. And art acquainted with all my ways. What's all mean? All means all. And that's all means. Is there anything about me that God doesn't know about? Anything about you God doesn't know about? Look at verse 4. How about this one? For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Could the Lord pull up what you said on today's March the 7th? On March the 7th of 2020 or 2019 or 28, could He pull up and tell you what you said on those days? I have not a clue what I said on those days. I guess you go back and look at the messages. I haven't preached a message on that day. You can pull up a few of the words. I don't know what I said on those days. You know what the Lord does? He knows what I said on any day of the week, any day of the year, any day of my life. Keep going here. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now look at verse 6. Here's the conclusion of all this. The psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Isn't that the truth? I can't understand all that. How is it that the Lord knows all about me, knows all about Sherry, knows all about James and Jules and Phil and Jewel? How is that? I got enough trouble keeping up with myself. And He knows every one of those things. Now look at the next verse here. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You might want to write down in your Bible there, you can't hide from God. The answer to those questions there is nowhere. Can't go anywhere to hide from God. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Man, that's quite a chapter right there. I won't stop right there. But folks, we're reading in that book of Obadiah about these people, the Edomites, and God took note of certain things they did in their history, and God doesn't forget what they did, and they got judgment coming because of it. Folks, God knows everything I've done. God knows everything you've done. With that thought in your mind, are you thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? God knows everything about me. God knows things about me. Like I said, I don't want you to know. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen to that. Amen. Now, next week, or next time we do this, whenever it is, we'll finish up there in Obadiah, and you will see how God does not fool around when He judges. And the hammer comes down hard on those Edomites because of the way that they treated God's people, the Israelites. So, folks, God knows everything, doesn't He? God takes notes of everything. And God sometimes... Here's the thing about the Edomites. God has not actually judged them finally. It's still in the future. Tribulation, He's going to do that. And we'll talk about what country that could be associated with in tribulation. And that's a long time before God finally came down on them, isn't it? Folks, there's times where I sure want the Lord to drop the hammer on people right now. I mentioned this in Sunday school. And the Lord says, you just back off. I'll take care of it. And when I do it, I'll do it way better than you could ever thought about. And I'll do it in my time. Hey, living in this world that we're in right now, sometimes you want to see the Lord just drop the hammer on some folks, don't you? You know, the fact that the Lord hasn't yet proves that He's, one of His attributes, long-suffering, giving people that I might think need judgment, giving them a chance to repent and get right with Him. Leave it up to the Lord, folks. Leave those things in the Lord's hands. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words and just how we can take some things here that are very applicable to our own lives. Lord, I want to pray for our nation right now. I pray that our nation would seek you. Pray that leaders of our nation would seek you. And our nation would align with those people over there in the Middle East, the Israelites, and not turn it back against them. Lord, we want to pray for this time here tonight of invitation and time to follow the taking of the Lord's Supper. We ask that we all would just be right with you this evening before we head out into this world. And we just pray you have your way here tonight in each of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.